Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. I don't know what is happening here, but it's turning into the geriatric club.
All right, just really quickly, so that I can get some sympathy.
What the hell happened?
Take your time. Go ahead. I want to hear every detail.
Last night, while playing doubles, I went for a ball, and while going for the ball, I thought the ball from the next court hit me very, very hard in the back of the leg. It felt like that was the feeling I got in the back of my left leg. I thought I was hit with a ball. As it turns out, I tore a muscle that I didn't even know I had, a muscle called the gastroc something.
Sounds like from the Flintstones.
It does sound like that.
Mr. Gastroc.
It's the main muscle in your calf, and mine is completely severed.
Oh, my God.
Which, ask me if it hurts.
Does it
yes.
Hurt?
Yes, it
Are
hurts.
You on pain pills?
Yeah, they gave me something called Norco.
Oh, don't take that.
Which is very strong.
That's when I had my knee surgery. Again, is welcome to Geriatric 101 here. Mm-hmm. When I had my knee surgery, honey, mm-hmm. I took the Norco. That was worse than the pain itself. I got so violently ill and threw up like crazy.
They said one of the side effects could be that. So they gave me a prescription for it, and I'm not going to take the prescription. I just took it last night when I was in the ER, watching, ironically, the Cavs. Ironically.
Oh, my God.
So they said, here, we're going to give you a bunch of these. You're going to need these. And I said, no, I think one will do me fine. And they said, no, you're going to want these, but I don't think I'm going
to. I have to look into this at greater depths, but my dentist told me that don't take that stuff. It gets you really sick. You can take Advil and Tylenol together, but I'm not a doctor. Mm-hmm. I will check into that for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is no time to say that. You just prescribed us all pain.
No, I didn't.
Right.
But you have, you know, the ibuprofen is good for swelling and such, and the Tylenol is good for the pain.
Yeah.
Let me find out for you, because honestly, I got so sick on that Norco, that was worse than the knee surgery.
I don't think I'm going to continue to take that. I think they had to give it to me last night because I kept screaming things in foreign languages.
Yeah.
It was so painful.
So, Billy Boy, this sounds to me like a long recovery.
Yeah, their guess is 3 to 6 months without tennis.
No tennis?
No, I can't even walk, so tennis is so out of the question. But they said normally I'll be able to walk within a month, which would be nice.
Walk,
but tennis
though.
Is another story. Yeah.
Mm. Oh,
yeah, sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you.
I don't understand how
I'll
life
take those
rolls.
Norcos.
Do you want the extra Norcos?
I mean, it seems to me like if they've been handed out.
I'm going
to
put them on eBay, but if you want to bid on them, feel free.
You never know what's coming around the corner.
I don't get how life works out. I mean, you're in shape. You play tennis all the time. This is a freak little thing.
I was fine.
Did you get to the ball?
No, I did not get to the ball. You know what happened is I went down. Like, this happened very quickly, and I went down, and I just assumed, oh, I fell down. I'll just get up and walk. But I've not come close to walking since. Yeah.
How'd you get to the ER? Did they make a seat with their hands, like, you know, each guy grabs their wrist and then grabs onto another guy's wrist and then you sit on that square?
I have
like Cleopatra.
Yeah, I have one of those Cleopatra things that four guards hold on their shoulders. I keep one of those in the back seat of my car just in case. No, two of the guys I play with were kind enough to limp me to my car.
Oh my God.
And that took about 20 minutes.
Which leg is it?
It's my left leg.
So you could You drove?
Wendy, I'm ambidextrous, so
one
of the beauties of this is
I can just tell you this is karma. For every time that I used to walk to lunch with you and Kevin, you would go, I can't go with her, she's too slow.
Way too slow. Yeah.
Boy, are you going to stand still on the escalator, or are you going to try and walk up it?
No, you play with, I'm sure you play tennis with some pretty bright guys.
I do.
Right. So they carried you to your car and then said, see you later.
Yeah, no, go ahead and drive.
They were so nice. I play with mostly captains of industry, Wendy, and they were very, very nice about this, very concerned. I was able to drive home, and then from there, my family took me to the ER, and then I was there for several hours. The people at Skokie Hospital, very, very nice and accommodating.
Why didn't you go right to the hospital?
I was extremely sweated up. So
God, you had to shower?
Yeah, that was interesting.
What is wrong with you?
You showered?
Yeah, I'd been playing tennis for 2 hours.
Bill.
I didn't want to go into the ER like that.
All you need is clean underpants.
They're going to medevac the patient, but first buy his house.
Right.
So you can be cleaned up a little bit.
Right. I had to. I could, you know.
Change of clothes?
Yeah, a little bit of change of clothes. Yeah. So it was. It made for an interesting evening last night, and I don't know what's ahead. Like, I don't know what the rehab is on this. They ruled out surgery right away because, as Dr. Lee explained to me last night, a lot of times with a muscle like that, they can try a surgery, but they end up making it worse, so I didn't want that.
Muscular things need to heal.
Right, it's not
a bone. Yeah.
If it's a bone, they know what to do, but with a muscle, it's more of a healing.
I hear that's worse, too.
Yeah.
Bill.
I know. Believe me, this is not something. And then, like, in my head, I'm like, what could I or should I have done differently? And there's nothing I could have or should have done differently. It's a freak thing. But boy, that feeling when a muscle pops, because that's what it did. The muscle just severed and it felt like I was shot, you know? That's the feeling you have. It's like, I thought my leg exploded. I looked down. This sounds crazy now, but I looked down to make sure my leg was still attached. And one of the guys made the same analogy I made. This is a horrible analogy, but it's true. There was a pitcher in baseball, a guy named Dave Dravecki, who one time threw a pitch and his arm essentially snapped. You could hear it when he threw the pitch. And that's the same. He goes, boy, you're like your own Dave Dravecki. And I go, yeah, that's what it felt like. It's awful.
I feel so sorry for you.
Thank you.
Laura works for a pharmacy, and I know Norco can be good for people. I absolutely hate it. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I hated it. I only took it once in my life after I had a baby, and I puked it up. But I'm telling you, people line up for this stuff. I can't tell you how many hundreds and thousands I sell every week.
Why do they line it? Just because it's so effective in that it does kill the pain?
Not only that, but it's so addictive.
Oh.
It's dangerously addictive. And, you know, then people can't get off of it. Bill and Wendy, I get offered mega money.
I'm sure you do.
Really?
To steal it? Yeah, and everybody comes in, oh, I left it in Wisconsin. Oh, I dropped it down the drain. Can I have a new one? You know? It's really...
I don't need
that.
Are
you a pharmacist, Laura?
I am not. No,
all right,
tech.
Because I have to ask about the Tylenol Advil combo as opposed to Norco, because...
You know, I don't want to speak for a pharmacist. I have heard that that's fine if you alternate. Of course, you know, don't take my opinion. It's just what
I've
heard
pharmacists
say. Right,
we need to get to the facts.
But yeah, if you can tolerate it, Bill, and I'm sure you can.
You know what they told me in the emergency room, Laura, and I've never heard this before. They said, we're going to give you a prescription. Take as many as you need when you need them, they said. And as soon as you've decided you don't need them anymore, flush them down. And they said, and if somebody talks to you about wanting to borrow some, do not lend them.
That's created the whole heroin problem, kind of.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, well, don't flush them. You know, wrap them in coffee grounds or something like that where they get destroyed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't want them in the water supply,
do you?
What's
weird is...
knocking on your door.
Laura, tell me if this is weird, but Ryan Burrow from our newsroom said he would dispose of them for me, and I don't know why he would offer that, but that's kind
Stop
of an...
It.
I don't
Those
know
are... He seems like an awfully nice guy.
He's a very nice guy.
He's because he's high all the time.
I didn't say that.
You started me down that path. Laura,
that.
Bill is a bad influence on me.
I guess I am. Laura, thank you
thank
for your
you
expertise.
Thank you for calling. We
I
have to take a
it.
Quick break. 312-981-7200. I feel so bad for you.
It is so insanely painful that it doesn't make sense.
Why'd you come to work? Shouldn't you be elevating it?
Yeah, they explain. Now, that's something else I need to ask about the elevation, because in my head, I would think that a problem muscle should be lower than your heart and not higher than your heart. I don't understand. Wouldn't you want more blood flow going to your heart and keep it lower and not higher?
No, we'll you find wouldn't? Out why.
All right, I'm confused about that. All right, stick around. It's the Norco Hour. Norco. What is it? Norco?
With Bill and Nurse Goodbody.
Right.
Why, thank you, Steve.
How kind. All right, more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It is us. It's Bill and Wendy. If you're just tuning in, some bad news for me. Last night while playing tennis, I tore my gastrocnemius, which if you watch Game of Thrones, you know is a very evil ruler who is unrelentless. They expect 3 to 6 months where I will not be able to do too much. So I'll be on crutches and I'll be playing Tiny Tim in this year's Christmas pageant.
Well, that's the good news. It's a big roll.
That's the good news.
Elevation of an injured area above the level of your heart will help to maximize the fluid or drainage away from the injury. You don't want swelling. Mm-hmm. That's why you put it above your heart.
All right.
Keep the injured area, leg or arm, comfortable and supported with pillows or a stool whilst doing this to help the area relax. This is from blackberryclinic.co.uk.
All right.
Elevating the area to take the weight or pressure away from the injury may benefit in the early days of the injury in reducing pain messages from the area and reducing the activity of swelling.
Oh, all
that's
right.
Why you raise it
that
above your heart.
That makes more sense. So as an added bonus, they put me on some painkiller called Norco that I had never heard of before, but everybody says, oh, you don't want to be taking too many of those. They will mess you up. That's the word I keep hearing.
I had my knee scoped recently. I'm going to have to get it replaced. They give you Norco. I was ready to come back to work, mm-hmm. and the reason I didn't is I was so violently ill from taking that. And a lot of doctors say, stay ahead of the pain. Keep taking it so you don't, once you get that pain, you're never going to relieve it. I don't know, Bill.
The thing with me is, and you already know this, I'm averse to almost any medicine. Even when I have anything wrong with me, I don't even like to take Advil. I just stay away from medicine. So whenever there is something in my system reacts quickly to it.
And you know? Probably violently.
Yeah, probably. Although I they gave me some in the hospital yesterday, and I'm fine.
Orally or injection?
It was oral. It was a tablet. The only difference is I keep looking at you and I'm thinking that you're James Polk, the former president. That's the only difference.
I'm all right with
oh,
that.
Oh, you are? With, okay.
He's a smart man.
Yeah.
All right, Jim's on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hey, hi there. You know, I'm 85 years old. I never stretched my entire life. I played sports, every sport my entire life. Yeah. Never pulled a muscle, or I even had a cramp while I was playing.
Uh-huh.
When I was a kid of about 60-something, a friend of mine said, hey, you want to play tennis? It was indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got there early, and it's indoor court, and I see everybody stretching. I thought, well, maybe I'll stretch too. Well, after about 5 minutes, I did the same thing. I popped my. I thought somebody shot me in the back of my leg.
That's what it feels like.
I actually heard the pop, and I looked around. Honestly, of course, they got all these curtains, you know, and nothing there. But I thought, I actually start feeling my leg. There's no hole, you know.
Yeah.
And well, I'm going to tell you, that was the first time I've ever even had a muscle pull, and that was unbelievable. And all I know is I learned how to walk flat-footed for a long time.
And you're okay now, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That was one of my sick. I'm going to say it took maybe 3 months. You know,
3 months is what they said, 3 to 6 months. Yeah.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
I didn't even go to a doctor. I just kind of, did it. I didn't realize it was so bad.
Yeah. But that is the feeling is you look around and you're like, somebody just hit me with a stick or shot me or something.
Oh, no. I thought somebody, I really thought somebody shot me. Honest to God. I felt it. I thought they had like a pellet gun or something. Boom, you know.
Yeah.
I was looking for the hole.
Yeah. That's awful. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're better.
I feel for you, kid.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Jim. We appreciate
Bye.
It. And real quickly, Joe, you tore the same muscle. What's the name of the muscle, Bill?
It's the gastrocnemius. I'm probably saying that wrong.
Joe, you tore the same one?
Yeah, I tore the same one 2 years ago. When you're talking about elevation and all of that, first of all, it was 2 months in a boot and then physical therapy after that with crutches. I think it's an acronym or whatever they call them. It's RICE, R-I-C-E.
Yeah.
So it's rest, ice, compression, elevation. And 2 years later, that tenderness still hasn't gone away.
Oh, no.
And when I play softball, the sporting goods stores sell a nice calf brace.
Oh, yeah?
That I wear all the time, and it's tremendous.
Well, now I know what I'm getting for Father's Day.
There you go.
Sorry, Omaha Steaks.
Well, good luck with that.
Oh, thank you so much.
You,
I'm glad
Joe.
You're doing better.
Oh, I feel so bad
for
you.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
It's
thank
finally you. Summer, tennis time.
That's the worst part. Is as bad as the pain is, I say to myself, I can't play at all for the rest of the summer, and that's killing me. That's the worst part of all. So...
We'll take care of you as
best
we can.
I'm going to be doing needlepoint if you need a sweater or something.
A wall hanging
You
would
want
be
a wall
nice.
Hanging? All right, a macrame wall hanging. We'll take a quick break, and then there's all kinds of stuff on today's show. Thanks, everybody, for your concern and for calling in. Greatly appreciated. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. You can join us by calling us or texting us at 312-981-7200. Just a quick warning to everybody listening. If a man named Yuba Sharma comes to your restaurant or your home or your backyard barbecue, do not, and I repeat, do not put onions on his food.
What happened?
A man is out of Huffington Post. A man is facing charges after he allegedly threatened to shoot a Pittsburgh restaurant owner because he put onions on his food.
I've heard you talk about doing that when people put tomatoes on your sandwiches.
I don't like tomatoes. I don't think tomatoes belong on anything, even tomatoes. A lot of times when I order tomatoes, I'll go, could you please leave the tomatoes off? But I would never shoot at anybody or even wave a pistol at somebody if they put tomatoes. I would say to them, I don't have a gun. Right. I have a super soaker, but I would not use that in malice. Yuba Sharma, which I've ordered several times. It's always delicious. I get the tahini sauce on it when it's so good that way. Yuba Sharma was arrested on Tuesday night outside of a restaurant called All India after officers responded to a call about a man who was drunk and angry.
They usually go together.
Many times you'll find if somebody's one, the potential for the other is there, yes. Owner Ravinder Singh told police that the suspect showed up on Tuesday evening in a drunken rage, still mad that servers had put onions on his food the night before. Now, again, there are things that are worth getting mad about. And again, if you order something and say, could you leave this off? I get it. But at some point, you have to give in to the fact that it happened. You can't hold
it. It happens to you every time. I bet if you would say, you specify and say no tomatoes, right, and you always get them.
Right.
Perhaps if you just ordered regularly, they'd forget the tomatoes. You'd have a better chance.
You're on to something. Because I think I plant the seed.
Yes.
Of, oh, did I just hear tomatoes? And then they just put them on.
It happens with Jimmy Mac and the shopping list every time. It's like, get Mickleberry ham, don't get Crocus.
Right.
He comes home with Crocus. Right. And he goes, well, that was the last thing I heard. It's true.
There was a restaurant, I've told you this, there was a restaurant in Evanston called Ziggy's. It's no longer there. They had a killer chicken sandwich. Really the finest chicken sandwich I've ever had. The problem was they laced it with tomatoes, and I don't like tomatoes. So I would always say, chicken sandwich, no tomatoes. And every time, and I'm not exaggerating, every single time there were tomatoes. So one time I said, I'm going to need the chicken sandwich without tomatoes because the doctor told me that if I have a tomato, I will die. And the girl laughed, and she goes, die? And I go, yeah, my allergy to tomatoes is so strong that if I even have a little piece of a tomato, I will die on the spot. My esophagus will close, and I will die. And she said, oh, well, then I will not give you tomatoes. And I went and got the sandwich, and it had extra tomatoes on it.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
I'm glad you don't have a gun.
Does she listen to the show?
Steve, I don't know the answer to that because Ziggy's is long gone in Evanston. But I was not on the radio at the time. I was with an advocacy group that helped people who had tomatoes on sandwiches.
You were a spokesperson?
I was their national spokesperson.
Like Opinia.
Yes.
That's what you have.
That's it.
You're cute in that tomato costume.
But yeah, I would wear the tomato costume. But you've seen this as I'm ordering, like I'll be on the phone and I'll stress it over and over and over. Please, no tomatoes. Promise me. And then you'll, oh, we're not going to put tomatoes on. And
every time.
It's all, yeah, it's amazing.
Tomatoes are pretty easy to take off, though.
There's no doubt about it. It takes a half a second to remove it.
Onions are a little harder because they kind of taint the sandwich with the onion-y smell.
Very much so. So do green peppers, I have found. Don't you think?
They're very strong.
Once you have a green pepper on something, like I don't like it on pizza, but family members do. And again, I know, I'll just pick it off, but you can kind of taste the residue.
Especially when it's cooked like that.
Right.
A raw one on a sub sandwich,
right,
you could just take off and it wouldn't bother you. But cooked, yes, it seeps in.
Yeah, it does. Owner Ravinder Singh, as I mentioned, explained that Mr. Sharma came to the restaurant the night before, asked for something without tomatoes, and then was served tomatoes, and this made him upset. Investigators say the 43-year-old Sharma was asked multiple times to leave the restaurant, but he refused. Instead, he reached for his pants pocket, allegedly threatening the owner, according to KDKA. That's when police were called to the scene. Before the police arrived, Sharma allegedly pulled down his pants.
I got your gun right here.
Please don't squeeze the Sharma.
Oh, my God.
He exposed himself to the owner.
What is that going to do?
I don't know.
That's just going to get you more onions.
Right. He showed him his shallots.
All right. Now I got Gene Shalit in my head.
That's right.
Is that green?
That ain't right. Initially, the owner didn't want to pursue charges. As soon as the guy pulls down his pants, I'm filing charges. The second his pants come down, charges are filed if it's
what
me.
What good does that do? I'll show you. I don't want onions. I'm going to drop trout. What does that do?
His reasoning was not quite right. There's other ways to get your point across. Pulling out a gun and whatever else he pulled out, that's not the answer to this. Initially, the owner didn't want to pursue charges, but then he changed his mind, telling police that he no longer felt safe in his restaurant. I'm guessing because of the gun. I'm guessing. Police described Sharma as being so drunk that he was speaking nonsense, according to the station.
Well, then how could he understand no onions? If he's that drunk.
But he said that the night before when he was not drunk.
Sorry.
But after getting the onions, all hell broke loose.
It ruined his life.
It ruined his life.
I'd like to see the after school special of that. Man goes down a bad road after getting onions on his sandwich.
This man clearly does not like onions, Wendy. I mean, talk about me with the tomatoes. I wouldn't pull my pants down if I got tomatoes. Not for tomatoes. He allegedly told an officer that he was arguing with the staff because, as I mentioned, they put onions in his food. Police said that Sharma physically resisted being placed in the backseat of the cruiser. Yeah, at that point. Who knows what he's capable of? Sharma, age 43, is currently being held in the Allegheny County Jail on charges of terroristic threats, indecent exposure, public drunkenness, and resisting arrest. This according to the Associated Press.
You know what they're serving for lunch? An onion loaf. Wouldn't that be ironic?
To only make the bad situation worse. All right, we must take a break, and then more show. If you want to join us, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, in just a minute, we're going to check in with Bridget Carey from CNET. We do this every Tuesday. It's Tech Tuesday. But first, I'm not the only person on the planet who has this problem with tomatoes. I thought it was just me, but Rachel's on the line, and she knows what I'm talking about. Rachel, what's your story?
Every time I say no tomatoes, I always get tomatoes, especially at Portillo's. Sausage. I just want a deep-fried breaded croissant with mayonnaise and lettuce.
Yeah.
No tomato.
Yeah.
And
no meat either? You're
up.
Just having the mayonnaise on your croissant?
Well, it's the breaded chicken croissant.
Now you're talking.
So what do you think it is about tomato? What's in it for them to give it to us when we beg
them? They hear it.
Yeah.
And then you know what? It's robotic. What they have to learn this, and this, and you're doing it out of the norm, and they don't get it.
I guess. It's so frustrating, though, isn't it?
Yes, and I just want to throw the tomato at them. I don't, but I really want to.
I would like to start eating lunch with you, Rachel, and you, Bill, because I like extra tomatoes, so I'll just take them off.
You can take ours.
We'll give them to you. You can have every single one.
All right,
perfect. It's a deal.
Thank you so much,
guys.
Rachel. I'm sorry you're going through this.
You too, Bill.
I'm going to give you Yuba Sharma's home phone number. You can call him. All right,
thank you, Rachel.
Care. Bye.
All right, it's a Tech Tuesday, and CNET senior editor Bridget Carey on the line with us. It's a big day for my 14-year-old son, Dylan, who set his alarm for 11 a.m. because there's an E3 video game trade show going on, and he wants to watch something Nintendo. Do you know anything about this, Bridget?
Yeah, for the past couple of days, every day a different company has had a big presentation, so Nintendo is today. But on Sunday, Microsoft had it, and it announced there's a new Xbox.
Oh my!
For like people who are really, really into gaming, because if you already have the new Xbox, all the same games are going to be played on the new one. This is more about like the definition is now more like 4K, you know, even if you don't have a 4K television. So,
but wait, you can use the same games, or you need to buy new games?
Yeah, okay, if you can't tell, I'm like making my who cares face right now.
No, all right.
Because it's one of those things where if you already have the Xbox One, this is not going to have any different set of games. This is simply about the quality and having a machine that like is a lot faster and can make, you know, better graphics, whether or not your TV even, like, can maybe have a 4K TV. It could just, like, you know, make it look better. But it's $100 more than the PlayStation 4 Pro. It's $500. So PlayStation 4 Pro, like, it's top of the line, you know, best edition. That's $400.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be someone who wants to invest and say, you know what, you know, I want to get this machine because down the line, you know, games are going to be better. I have a really big TV. I want to make sure it looks the best. They're really, what these companies are doing is they're targeting a group of consumers who say, I want the best because it's the best, and it's the best, right? So I'll pay the best to have the best. And it doesn't necessarily have a great argument as to, like, is your experience different? Okay.
It just looks better. Bridget, for a while, game companies were telling us, the consumers, that they would lose money on every console they would sell. They would lose money, but they'd make that money back up in the games. Is it still that way?
To a degree, certainly they are doing different tricks, especially the game makers. You know, when you have all these places like GameStop where people sell used games, there are different tricks they incorporate to make you pay for add-on content to even just unlock the game. So, oh, I got it on sale at GameStop. You know, it's only a $25 game, but you get home and, wait, to unlock the online play, I have to pay $10. Oh. Wait, to unlock this, I have to pay another $15. And suddenly you're back up to the normal price of the game again.
Yeah.
That said, you know, this little competition that Microsoft and Sony's PlayStation are kind of getting into with, like, we have the best graphics. No, we have the best graphics. Well, if you play video games on your PC, they usually have the best graphics. Because I think, it's, you know, and it's something that where, like, people have computers where they can upgrade their machines. They can, like, switch in and out the graphics cards when they want. When you buy one of these game consoles, they're not upgradable. You're kind of stuck for a while with them.
Yeah.
I have, you know, I'm married to a Star Wars fan and collector and podcaster. Bill, you're a collector. There is a gene in your system, I think, to collect things. And my 14-year-old son, Dylan, we just bought an Odyssey 2 game at a garage sale. I think Sears made that originally.
Magnavox.
All right. We bought it for $20 with all the games, and it works.
Yeah.
And so now Dylan wants every single game system set up in the basement. He told me they're coming out with the Atari again, even with the wood paneling. Why didn't I just save all this crap I had?
Right.
I know. I still have my old Genesis, but I do see them, like, remaking, like,
the Sega,
like, new versions of the Sega Genesis.
Sega!
Yeah. Yeah. The difference is that now the games are a part of the console. Like, they'll load up 20 or 30 games as part of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy the cartridges and put them in. They're preloaded.
But some of them will still work with the cartridges. It just, you know, but do you know how to blow on a cartridge to make it work?
Right.
Yes. Oh, my God. I can't stand hearing that sound all the time in my house.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep.
All right. What else is in the tech world news today?
Well, people are also keeping an eye on Uber, the ride-sharing company, the ride-hailing company. You know, they've been dealing with scandal after scandal and just embarrassment after embarrassment. And what the company did after all these controversies is they hired law firms to kind of make recommendations, including a law firm that Eric Holder runs. And they made recommendations to fire the vice president. And we're going to find out later today what else has been recommended, because the board approved to follow all his recommendations to change the culture, change the environment over there, because, you know, they've been accused of just being nasty. And I don't know if you've covered it on your show, but we're talking things like the culture there is a lot of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Just being dumb, looking up the medical records of someone who accused a driver of rape, and so they go after the woman and, like, look up her medical records, you know, like, it's just dumb move after dumb move.
Which is dumb, because what a great idea Uber was when it came out. They're tainting themselves.
Right, the CEO, Travis Kalanick, you know, he's been on tape just being a jerk often. And so one of the recommendations might be that he takes a temporary leave of absence, but we'll see.
I don't know what went so wrong with that.
And fast, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like the golden child for a little while there, and then everything fell apart.
Huh. And now Lyft.
You know, you kind of have an environment where employees – didn't feel like they had a way out, because if they had a lot of stock in the company, right? Like, there's an IPO brewing that hasn't been released yet, or hasn't, you know, happened yet. So employees who have all this, like, promised money in a stock, they can, if they leave the company, they don't get that money, but, you know, they kind of want change. So they kind of, if you're grumpy and you're an employee, you might start leaking out these emails that your company's been sending to the press. Some of the really stupid emails have been coming out this week, have been from 2013, you know, so people have been holding on to stuff, and maybe they want to see change, and so they're kind of trying to get the word out about what's happening internally.
And conversely, Lyft is doing okay, and aren't they going to pick up some extra business in the wake of these Uber issues?
They have. In fact, Lyft right now accounts for about 25% of all of these types of trips in America, and that's up from 18% at the beginning of the year. And their people have said, yes, we have noticed, because of all the Uber controversy, our business is up. And people, just talking to people I know in New York City, like, I only use Lyft now, and so do a lot of other people. So it's the equivalent, and I like it more because you can tip with Lyft. So when I talk to drivers, they use both. They have all the apps running in their dashboard, and they're just waiting for a ping. And they say, at least in New York, they go, not only are they getting more requests from the Lyft app, but they think people who use Lyft are nicer because they consider things like tipping versus your typical rude New Yorker who, like, just, you know, yells and expects things. They usually still use Uber.
Right.
I used Uber for the first time in L.A. I was I needed a ride from the Santa Monica Pier to LAX.
Yeah.
And it was like $25. It was really minimal.
Uh-huh.
And the guy was really nice. It was an actor who was trying to make some money in between auditions.
Oh.
I've not used Uber here in the city, but now I feel like just removing my app and just going with Lyft. It's just that first time you use it, it's kind of nerve-wracking.
Sure. Yeah.
You can learn a lot just by talking to the drivers, too, and how their interactions are with the company when they have payment issues, when they have their car needs fixing, their app has a problem. You know, they always have something bad to say about, like, their own experience and, you know, internally with working with Uber.
All right, I'm deleting the app right now.
Oh, Wendy, that's come to that.
I don't use it anyway.
Well, you know what? Maybe with these changes today, they're on a new course.
Oh, I'll wait till tomorrow then.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bridget. We really appreciate it. You can find her at CNET.com. Bridget Carey, thank you so much on this Tech Tuesday.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Bye, Bridget. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then a lot more coming up on the show, including later Ben Falcone, actor and author Ben Falcone. He's married to somebody kind of famous.
I was waiting to see if you'd mention that.
Should I mention it?
Well, yeah, because it's just, I feel bad that's, you know, he's not riding on her coattails, but everyone would know him because of his wife.
He's married to Melissa McCarthy, but you may have seen him in a bunch of movies or television shows. He has a book out, so stick around. We've got all that and more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's Ron Onesti.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Wendy, you worked your name into the song, Ron.
Well, you know, it's so, I know that you did your homework, and that's why you opened with Dean Martin, because I know you know that this is Dean Martin's 100th birthday.
Good job,
what?
Kevin.
Is today?
It's June 9th.
It just happened. Yeah, I saw a lot of Facebook posts. Dino was the best.
There's nobody finer. I mean, really, he's the guy with class. I mean, you know what? The chairman of the board, you can't say nothing about Sinatra,
right?
Of course.
Different,
but it was totally different. It was, for me, it was like the like Frank was the uncle that you got in trouble with, and then Dean is the uncle you just wanted to hang with.
Yeah.
You know,
how about the weirdness of the fact that most people perceived him to be quite a drinker when in reality he was not quite a drinker? It was a prop. He wanted people to think he was drinking.
Why did he do that? Just to fit in?
Image.
It was cool. It was image. And you know what? It's not, you know, it was done intentionally.
Yeah.
I mean, at first, just to be, he was cool. He was a king of cool. And cool, what could be cooler than just, you know, having a drink in your hands and women around you? And
a smoke.
A smoke.
Did he have a pinky ring?
Oh, of course he did. He's Italian. Yeah. We're born with those. You don't understand. They come out. We have those.
It's an appendage.
Yeah. I mean, we're born with hair on our chest.
A chain.
Our diaper goes up to our neck.
Right.
You know?
Right. I love it. Ron Onesti's here. Of course, you can find him live in action at the Arcata Theater. Go to oshows.com. Just saw your ad in the Illinois Entertainer. Nice front page placement, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, the show's coming your way.
you know what? I everybody wants to play by us now. It's very cool. We've got, and they, not just one, but 2 days. We got Ted Nugent, Pat Benatar, Toto, America. I mean, Supertramp. They're all coming.
I got to go see
Supertramp. You know what's great about Ted Nugent is he keeps his politics to himself. He doesn't share his political views, and that's what I like about Ted Nugent.
You know what, Bill? Here's the thing.
Yes.
I had him first time last year, and I was like worried as heck.
Were
about
you
that.
Worried?
I
bet.
Am. Yeah. I'm a big pet guy. Yeah. I've got a little poochie, little dog, you know, big animal lover. And I'm like, you know what? And I actually spoke to him. I said, Ted, all I want is like a half hour cat scratch fever and like a 45 minute, you know, just
stranglehold.
That's all I want. Those two songs. Yeah. And he really kept it. I mean, I think he said one or two like quick things that like threw it out there, but there was no politics.
Good.
The music was, I'm telling you, I don't know what I expected.
Yeah.
Incredible. If you're the true rock and roll, like if you remember Ted Nugent.
I love
as
Ted
a musician,
Nugent's music.
He was
love it.
Incredible. I'm telling you, as a musician, as a showman, he was incredible. There was no politics.
Do you remember when his mom was a columnist for Illinois Entertainer?
Absolutely.
Ma Nugent.
She would just keep you up to date on what was going on in the world of rock and roll.
He's got the local, you know, I've got the Alex who works for me.
Yeah.
He went to school with Ted Nugent's nephew.
Oh, really?
I mean, Wango Z Tango High. That's where they went to school together.
No, it's great stuff. You know, Pat Benatar coming back, Toto.
It was Marengo. He went in Marengo. It was the Marengo Tango.
And you've just opened up, and not just, it's been open for a while, and I haven't gotten there yet. Tell us about your speakeasy above the Arcata Theater.
You know what, Wendy, thanks for bringing it up. We got, it's our 90th anniversary. We're into our 91st at the Arcata Theater. Thank you. It was opened on September 6th, 1926.
For Dean Martin's 10th birthday, you guys opened.
Exactly.
Yep. Happy birthday, Dean.
He still
had a drink and a smoke in his hand.
He did.
A candy cigarette and a Shirley Temple.
This guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know where I was. Anyway, we opened our 90th anniversary. Yes, we're open in 1926. We're celebrating all the 20s, and I'm walking around my building, and I was just peeking under the drop ceiling on the third floor. Didn't realize those ceilings were so high.
Yeah.
Originally, it was one of those Freemason halls, you know, where that meeting hall, and we just tore it apart and turned it into an actual 1920s speakeasy.
Nice.
It's a throwback to time, but it's not with like cheesy, like antique looking things you get at Target, and you know, like cheap old phones.
These are real vintage things.
Over 400 antiques. The artwork is all commissioned artists. We've got a Louis Armstrong room. We've got a Charlie Chaplin room. We got a Gene Harlow room. We got the Great Gatsby room.
Oh, nice!
It's really something to experience.
Who designed all this? Was this your doing?
100%.
Really?
I'm not a designer or anything, but as far as this thing, I've had this in my head for a long time.
Yeah.
And some of the music that appears in the speakeasy.
It's cool. You know, it's eclectic, and there's a variety because, you know, a lot of it is period. A lot of it is 20s, 30s, 40s, and you get these bands like the Flat Cats, and we've got a lot of them that come in, Rosie and the Ribbits, and we've got Lance Lipinski, who was formerly with the Jerry Lee Lewis and Million Dollar Quartet,
you
know, that kind of stuff. But then there's also things like national acts, like, for example, Tony Bennett, when Tony Bennett...
His daughter was,
yeah.
We had her on.
Yes, that's right.
Antonia,
she's like my sister. We go back a long time. And so she played it. We had Lee Rocker, who's the other guy in the Stray Cats, you know?
Yeah.
He did his thing.
The guy who's not Brian Setzer.
Exactly.
Right.
And then even, you know, like Kip Winger from Winger.
Yeah.
He does an acoustic thing. We did that up there. It was spectacular.
Oh, good.
And so now the celebrities are all seeing it, and they're loving it. For example, we had Foghat and Grand Funk downstairs in the theater, you know? And they were sitting in a hotel room on a Thursday night. And Foghat is actually, if you ask them, they're not a rock band. They're a blues band. They started with their blues.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they have a blues CD out with a different Scott Holt, with a different singer. And so we had an actual two-hour blues jam with Foghat. And the stage is this size of your desk here.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. So that kind of those kind of things. It's really cool.
Did they blues up Slow Ride a little bit?
They did that. That's the best song. I know, man.
So when you're walking around, because I know you've had this speakeasy dream in your head for years and years and years, now that it's a reality, what's that like for you to just go, I used to dream this and now it's real? Is that a huge accomplishment?
Yeah, you know, Bill, it's wild because I sit in each room and I'm marveled just at the feel because, you know, again, you're amongst all these, you know, actual antiques.
Yeah,
I've
right.
got a shoe shine stand from State Street, the news what do you call those things? Those newsstands.
Yeah.
That was on State Street in the 1930s. And you're just sitting there, and I'm marveled by each room. And,
yeah.
And I just, it's such a feeling. I mean, you feel like you're in the 1920s. You could be drinking out of 100-year-old glasses. The drinks, we spent about 6 months on the recipes. I've got to, and you can have food there too. There are all my recipes with that too, like really homemade stuff. It's just a very cool experience.
That sounds great.
I got to go there for an old fashioned. Mm-hmm.
No, literally, we got 10 different kinds. You kidding?
Oh, love it. Do you have the good cherries?
I got imported cherries.
Maraschino cherries from the
1930s. No, they're San Marino or something like
they're,
that. The good cherries.
Well, they're Luxardo.
Yeah. Oh. That's what they are.
Yes, that's what we have.
20
have
some bucks
no
a jar. I have them in my fridge.
Oh, good for you.
All right. Well, something else that's going on that Ron Onesti is proud to be part of and in charge of, the Oakley Avenue Festa Pasta Vino. We're going to talk about that when we come back. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, Ron Onesti with us on 720 WGN. Let's play Meatball with Ron Onesti.
See, that's
was that for
that's
air,
the
Ron?
Music.
I don't think we're supposed to say that on air, are we?
Yeah, sure you can.
Yeah, all right.
That should be the music behind bed behind or under every commercial.
Yes.
I do like it.
You know,
it's
the little
soothing
mandolin.
Yeah.
I mean, Cubs and mandolin go together.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried to hit a meatball with a baseball bat? Do you think
they
ever did?
I have, and I was chasing about two blocks. I finally caught up to him.
All right. Ron Onesti is with us. Please go to the Arcata Theater, because once you go there, you're going to want to see every show there. Go to oshows.com and tell us about the Oakley Avenue Festa Pasta Vino. What number is this? Because you've been doing this a while.
Yeah, this is our 24th year. It's a great area of, we call it Little Tuscany, the heart of Italy. It's right in the Pilsen area, mm-hmm. near Cermak and Western on 24th and Oakley. And here's these little restaurants that were established.
Bacchanalia. Gemma's?
They're probably gone
by now.
Yeah, it's Il Vicinato. It's Ignaz.
Yeah.
It's Bacchanalia and La Fontanella.
So every one of them delicious.
You know, it's generations old recipes.
Yeah.
It's not the real big portions. I mean, you really taste the difference. They cook with wine. They cook with the garlic, of course. I mean, that's the thing. The streets are filled with the smell of garlic. And it's a good time, man.
Ron, my mom grew up about four blocks away, and there was a funeral home there on the corner, right in the heart of all those restaurants you just mentioned. And the only time we get to eat there is when a relative dies. So there have been times where relatives have said, I hope somebody dies soon so we could all eat at those restaurants.
Well, you know, he's 100%. It's not really on the corner. It's right in the middle of the block,
right
in the center of our festival.
Yeah.
And it was Pachacalupo's.
Yeah.
And it's 100 years old plus. It's not a funeral home anymore.
Oh.
It's an art shop. But that's where I believe you got to look it up. I believe it was where Mother Teresa was.
I think you're right.
It was one of those things that she was actually waked there or embalmed there or something.
Yeah.
And you go in this place. And it's like the way it was, like where they put the bodies, that little ceramic thing. It's just like an old school funeral home.
Yeah.
Pretty
but not, no longer in existence, the funeral
home. It's an art shop. You know,
Zephron's was the other funeral home there.
Yes,
I'm sorry for knowing so much about funeral homes. But
yeah,
that's
all
right. We had Joe Montaigne up, and I talked about Vance Funeral Home in Cicero, because that's what we remember, unfortunately.
Well, we as Italians do.
Yeah.
Because we're there quite a bit.
But those restaurants, when you'd walk in, you went back in time. Every one of those restaurants. You're transported 60 years in the past, and the food is just so good.
That's it. You know, the restaurant owners, a lot of them are cooking. They're family recipes. They've been around for generations.
Yeah.
And in order to keep, you know, to publicize this neighborhood, we established this festival about 25 years ago almost. And since then, just people love it. And it's a Father's Day tradition. And it's cool because I've been doing, as I mentioned, over 20 years. And now we get people that the whole weekend are coming up to me saying, you know what, we love this festival, not only because it's a great event, but, you know, we used to come here with our dad, and now he's gone. And now we get together every year, our whole family here, just in his honor.
Yeah.
Or we come together from all over the country, and this is our reunion, just in honor of our dad.
That's beautiful.
It's just a great, it really, really is. It's a heartwarming thing. We have a mass on Sunday that honors dads, and it's three stages of entertainment, and all family friendly. It's a good time.
Nice
way to spend Father's Day.
It really, really is. You know, it really is.
And where do we go to find information on the Oakley Avenue Festa Pastavino?
You can go to our oshows.com.
You got everything there, huh?
Everything's there. You know, it's easy. One-stop shop at oshows.com.
Ron, we've already established the fact that you and Mr. Bennett, Tony Bennett, have a relationship and have for years friends. I know he was pretty sick a short time ago. Has he rebounded? Is he doing okay?
Absolutely. You know, he's a guy that, I mean, he's a guy that loves life. I rarely have met a guy that truly loves life and appreciates life as humble as possible, yeah, as you'll ever meet. And his daughter, Antonia, who was on the show, obviously, and played our place as well, very, very, she's like a sister to me, and we spoke about it. And, you know, he's rebounding. He's
good.
I think he's going to be fine. He's going to slow down for sure.
How old is he, ballpark?
Well, he's 92.
Is he not in 92? Or
something, like,
wow.
something like that.
A national treasure.
You know, he's the last one. I mean, really. I mean, you know, even you know, I hate to, not by comparison's sake, but a guy like Don Rickles, you know, who we just lost, you know. I mean, there's not a lot of those guys.
Right.
And just those guys that were through it all, that it started the late 40s, but definitely in the early 50s.
Yeah.
And just was cool from moment one all the way through, you know. I mean, look at where we're at here. You know, 2000s, almost 2020.
Yeah.
This guy was around the 50s and the 40s.
Yeah.
And he's still singing.
As cool as ever. Ugh. Yeah.
I like his hookup with Lady Gaga. Has she been out there?
She hasn't been by me yet, but I'll get her.
I know you will.
Yeah, she'll have a walker, but I'll get her. she'll be just saying goo goo at the time. Yeah. But she, I tell you, that's his son Danny, the manager. But that's genius. I mean, it opened up his music to a whole nother generation. And it just was marvelous, you know. It's happening. It's just like, I was on Channel 11 last night with hosting a show,
The Journey thing. Awesome.
It was tremendous. And the interesting, one of the interesting things about it, this was an actual concert that we broadcast from Houston when the Escape album just came out, 1981.
Yeah.
And
clothes, it brought back memories.
Oh, those skinny little Steve Perry.
They don't wear sideways underpants.
No, you could tell that. it was Sausage Fest on Channel
1. Oh, nice.
So, but the interesting thing was that so many younger people, and I say younger, I'm talking about 15, 16, 17 year olds, know this music for two things. Number one, their parents were around and they share that. And I get that at the Arcata all the time where they're bringing their 12 year olds and they got their you, bro, Mike, and your kids all the time. And, on Glee, they'd have all the Sopranos, on the Sopranos too, but they have all the Journey stuff. And now I've got, my daughter's 12 and she knows every song from Journey. It's cool. That music lasts forever.
And I've seen a lot of families go to shows at the Arcata. That's what I like. Michael just turned 18. He's into all that classic rock and blues and stuff. Dylan, as I mentioned before, was into Kiss FM music, which I was like, oh, we haven't done our job.
Right.
He was jealous that we saw the Zombies at the Arcata, and he's like, I love the Zombies. Why didn't I go? You didn't want to. So now he goes to every show with us.
I mean, again, you and Jimmy, what you guys have done with your kids, I mean, you know, you've really shared the culture, you know, of music with them.
It means so much to everyone, you know?
It really does. And it's the thing that connects a lot of kids with their parents now.
A couple years ago, Paul Anka put out a CD. I think it was 12 or 14 songs that were all modern day songs.
Yeah.
But it was Paul Anka doing them in kind of a big band style. And somebody gave it to me for my birthday, and I laughed, and I went, oh, that's so funny. And they go, oh, no, wait till you hear this. It is magnificent.
Well, he's such an orchestral guy.
Yeah.
You know, the orchestrations of those songs, you'd never think. And matter of fact, Paul Anka played my place for the first time last year.
Did
loved
he?
It. He's in two nights this year in September.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he's one of the few guys I can look right in the eye, which is awesome.
You know who his son-in-law is, right?
Which one?
Paul Anka's son-in-law is Jason Bateman.
Oh, Jason Bateman.
His daughter's
absolutely.
Married to Jason Bateman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, he's he's a very. I mean, they say the consummate showman. He's like, you know, the Wayne Newton guy.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
right,
they're
right.
All like always on. Always. I mean, they sleep in their tuxes. You see them getting their cars washed. They're at Starbucks in a tux. I mean, they
That's
are.
So funny.
They are.
You never know when a show's going to break out.
Well, these guys are always on.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing when you see, you know, I have all the rock stuff, but then I've got your Wayne Newton, Engelbert Humperdinck, Neil Sedaka, Paul Anka. Yeah. And to see these guys perform is really, you know, all my hats off to the Queensrÿches of the world and the Slayers of the world, even the Foreigners and all the stuff in the 70s that we have. But when you see a show and if you have an open mind, of course, but if you see a show with these Wayne Newtons and Paul Ankas of the world, Neil Sedaka, that's entertainment.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. They embody entertainment. I mean, they are just, their presence takes up the stage and they address the audience and they're touching the audience and they're so big.
Yeah.
On stage, they're big, their voices, their show is big, as opposed to just rocking out a song, which is cool, but it's a different experience. And I've grown to appreciate these legends so much by having them by us and speaking with them. Even a guy like Eddie Money, which I wouldn't put in the Neil Sedaka, Engelbert Humperdinck range,
right?
But that's a guy who just by us this past weekend loves the audience.
And the audience loves him.
He does.
That's why they're there to see him.
Oh, they just love him.
Yep.
It's just awesome.
Eddie Mahoney.
Yep.
His real name.
Ron, thanks for stopping by. It's always fun to talk to you. And
you
I'm glad everything's going so well for you. You deserve it.
Well, no, I mean, we all work hard, and I appreciate everything you guys do. You guys come out, and, you know, it's I'm so glad you guys are doing this.
Oh,
you know,
thank you.
I mean, I listen all the time, and it's always nice to see you.
Oshows.com. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you this weekend.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. We just had a visit from Steve Bertrand, who said on no uncertain terms, I'd listen to the stream today. My show's going to be okay, but you guys on the stream, you have it going on. So do what you want at noon.
We're going to talk to Ben Falcone, who's written a book about it's quirky being a dad. What's the title of it? Because we only have one book and we're sharing it with three people.
It's called Being a Dad is Weird.
Being a Dad is Weird
and
by Ben Falcone.
It really changed your life, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad I there's nothing better. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing better. But yeah, every once in a while you go, I have kids. What? How did this happen?
I know. All my goldfish used to die.
Yeah.
My hermit crabs died.
Yeah.
Michael's made it till 18.
Well,
Dylan's 14.
You've learned from your errors.
Right. I clean their bowl more frequently.
That's the key. That's the key to longevity, Wendy. Clean the bowl more frequently.
I was having fun looking through their yearbooks.
Oh, see, that's not always allowed. Some kids would want their parents to not look through their yearbooks.
Oh, well, they don't know they looked at it. I wasn't reading what people wrote. I was, like, looking at the clubs and the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there a yearbook story?
I think I gave it to you, didn't I? Didn't I?
No.
I think I did. I don't have it anymore. Yeah.
Oh, that's where I was going. That was my setup. We were talking about this off the air, and I'm not sure where I stand on this. This is out of New Jersey. Grant Berardo couldn't vote for Donald Trump last year. He wasn't old enough.
Right.
But the Wall Township High School junior certainly could wear a T-shirt with Trump's name on it, or so he thought. With his parents' permission, Grant took his school pictures wearing a navy blue Donald Trump campaign shirt emblazoned with the slogan, Make America Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
But when 17-year-old Grant Berardo flipped to the yearbook page with his picture, which is what you always do. You go to make sure your name is spelled correctly.
Immediately, yeah.
He was shocked. Instead of the campaign shirt that he wore that day, he was shown in a nondescript black T-shirt.
Oh.
So it's not only not a navy blue shirt anymore. The Make America Great Again was photoshopped out to remove that Trump message. So I sent it to my mom and dad just like, quote, you won't believe this. I was just overall disappointed, he said. I like Trump, but it's history, too, and wearing that shirt memorializes the time.
Yeah.
Now, the Wall School Superintendent Cheryl Dyer said on Friday that she was investigating why it happened and who was responsible, but did not condone the digital alteration. She says that I'm quite disturbed by the entire situation. It seems like they should have let that fly.
Well, I agree with you, but do they have a strict policy that was known to the school? Did they at any point say to kids, either in writing or out loud, hey, for picture day, you can't have anything that could potentially be offensive in any way, no political statements of any kind? I mean, did they make that clear? If they didn't make it clear, I think they have to honor whatever this kid wore, I think.
Well, the plot thickens a little bit. The superintendent, as I mentioned, said, I'm quite disturbed by this entire situation, but she declined to comment further.
Mm-hmm.
And a spokesman for the company that takes the photographs.
Root Photography?
Who is it?
Root Photography. That was the big one in Chicago. I don't know if they still are, but
we have
years.
Van Gogh.
Oh, did you have Van Gogh? We always had Root.
And I'm sorry, you guys. Would you take better pictures of these kids? That's what they do
for a living.
Because
what happened?
Sometimes their hair is messy.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking my kids. When you look through the yearbook, it's like, how did they let that picture happen?
But that's almost along these lines, is that you have to, I think your job, if you're the photographer, is you have to capture the moment for whatever it is. If it's a hair out of place, if it's a t-shirt that could potentially be offensive, your job is to record the moment, not to better the moment, is it?
Remember when we used to get our pictures taken when we were in elementary school?
Yeah.
And there would be someone from the photography place, which I don't remember back then, but they would give everybody a little black comb.
Yes.
They would hand that out to everybody on
Picture Day.
Right.
You ragamuffins.
That's what your mom called you.
Right.
And only you, not anyone else.
Right. Sure.
So you'd, you know, try and comb your hair and everything. And now it's like, I guess they sometimes have someone there who kind of says, oh, fix that hair. But
right.
That's what they should do. A spokesman for Jossens, the company that takes the photographs and prints the yearbooks, did not respond to requests for comment. It's not immediately clear whether the change was made by someone from the school district or the photography company.
See, now, it is a two-pronged attack, and I know because I worked on the yearbook in eighth grade, so I remember this. You would send them kind of the proofs, or actually, the proofs would go to the photographer, and they would clean it up a little bit, but then you got the picture back, and you would kind of crop it. So if there was something, if there was a t-shirt that was offensive, you could use it like from the neck, just the neck on up.
Would there be a giant head? Because you'd have to zoom in then.
Not a giant head, but for the individual pictures, I remember some kids got kind of a medium close-up, and then other kids got...
were in the distance a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, here's their policy, by the way, because you mentioned that. The only reason a student's image would be altered is if it was in violation of the dress code, which is clothing referencing drugs,
mm-hmm.
alcohol, or violence.
No.
Political shirts are absolutely not a violation of the dress code, and there's no policy prohibiting political messages in school pictures. And here's what the weird thing is. In an interview, Grant Berardo's dad, Joseph Berardo Jr., wants the school to recall all the yearbooks and reissue new ones.
I'm sure that'll happen.
It was not going to happen.
There's no way in the world that would happen.
So he wants all, you know, everybody turn in your yearbook and then have the school pay for it again.
Sure.
So the picture of him with the Trump t-shirt comes
that
out.
That seems realistic.
He said
Mr.
he would
Berardo.
Consider legal action if that doesn't happen.
There's no way in the world that would happen.
And how could you request that?
I don't know. He's being very hopeful, but once the yearbooks are distributed, that's it. You're not getting them back. Nobody's going to bring them back.
You know what the solution to this problem is? You get a picture that, again, I'm not crazy about the school photographers because it's like $800 to get an 8x10, a 5x7, and
pricey.
Some wallets.
Yeah.
And they're not even that good. And if any kind of touch-up, like a blemish or anything,
yeah.
you have to pay extra for that now.
Right.
They just did that for us.
Right.
Although,
right.
Sometimes they didn't. My girlfriend, Carla Felicia, you know her, former yeah. stand-up comic, writer for Mike and Molly. It was in junior high. She had a black eye or something, and they did not touch it up at all.
Oh, really?
So, come on. Yeah. They couldn't do that?
There was always some kid that somehow slipped in the finger. Like, there'd be a group picture, and there was always some kid who somehow was creative.
Class.
And yeah, we had
really?
That happen several times.
I got to go look through my old yearbooks. I bet I know some
somebody
people who
would,
did it.
Would get that in.
But you get a copy of the picture. So the father is demanding all the yearbooks being recalled.
Right.
Not going to happen. But I would definitely contact the photographer and say, I want a picture of my son with that t-shirt.
Right.
Send it to me free.
That's realistic. Having them all recalled is unrealistic, but one I can kind of see.
And who's going to turn in their yearbook once it's been
Nobody.
Delivered?
Nobody. Did you also have this? There was a stigma. This happened in my grade school. If when the class picture came out that was all the kids individual, if you were the kid whose picture was next to the teacher, you heard about it for the next couple months.
It's not your fault.
No, you have no hand at all in the placement of who was going to get that spot.
You Catholic school kids were mean.
Yeah, I guess
I always
it was.
Liked to be next to the teacher. I'm a brown noser.
The two worst things that could happen to us are if during church you had to sit next to the teacher. That was always
bad.
but it was worse to be next to him or her in the yearbook because that was forever.
No one ever made fun of anybody.
In our school, that was the worst. I still can remember which kids got placed next to the teachers in the various yearbook pictures because even though they didn't have any hand in it at all, it's like, oh, you and your best friend. Oh.
Well, see, in our yearbooks, they had the teachers in the front and then just your class pictures. Are you talking about the sheet when you were in elementary school?
We would get a picture that was each of the 26 or 30 kids individual, and then your teacher was always in either the lower left-hand or the lower right-hand corner.
A picture of it, or that was how it was in the yearbook?
Because
we would get like an 8x10. Yeah.
It was a separate picture.
I thought they did it alphabetical.
No, ours were never alphabetical.
Varied?
Names
of the people
mostly
next to the
boy
teacher.
It was always John Karsten.
Was he a troublemaker?
Yeah, John Karsten was in trouble. So even at Root Photography, they knew, don't leave John Karsten on his own. Put him next to Mrs. Kessman so she can keep an eye on him.
Like the Brady Bunch. You could look down
right,
or over and
right.
keep an eye.
It was the same thing. It was the exact same thing. All right, your thoughts on this. Did they have the right? Did this school have the right to take away this kid's message on his T-shirt, his Trump message of Make America Great Again?
And keep in mind that they said political shirts are not a violation of the dress code. The dress code is they can't wear clothing referencing drugs, alcohol, or violence.
Oh. Now, I bet you could make the argument that him wearing this could in some way incite violence. It shouldn't. The kid's saying Make America Great Again. But I wonder.
That's too much interpretating.
I know. I agree with
interpreting.
You.
Interpreting.
All right. What are your thoughts on this? Do they have the right to do this or not? We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. We're talking about this kid, this high school kid who wore a T-shirt for his class picture. A Trump T-shirt that says Make America Great Again. The problem is somebody along the line
censored it.
So you couldn't see the message. It just became a black T-shirt instead of having a message on it.
And Grant Berardo's dad, Joseph Jr., says that he wants the school to recall the yearbooks and reissue new ones with the unaltered photo. He said he would consider legal action doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't come to that, Wendy.
I don't know. Matt, what do you think about this?
Hello, everyone. I'm not calling on the stream. It's craziness.
Oh, that's all right. Hi, Matt. What do you think of about this?
Okay, here's the story.
Yes.
The school had every right to block this.
Why?
Now, because, okay.
Their dress code, let me just reiterate, Matt, their dress code, you can't wear anything referencing drugs, alcohol, or violence.
Right.
Okay, well, let's see. Make America Great Again. So far, people have turned to drugs, people have turned to drinking, and people have turned to violence because of a particular person. The term Make America Great Again, unfortunately, has been transformed from Make America Great Again into let's remind everybody about a certain person named DJT.
And yeah, but some people that won't invoke violence. To some, it will. And it's not promoting violence.
It's not promoting violence, but it stands for a person who promotes violence at his rally. And that's the problem.
But people, Matt, couldn't you say that about any phrase? Couldn't you put any phrase on a T-shirt and somebody could find a way to make it if you wore a Chicago Bears shirt, you could go, oh, yeah, a bunch of guys crushing each other, knocking each other down. That's not a nice thing. You could say that about almost any phrase, couldn't you?
Well, Bill, if you put a Chicago Bears slogan on a T-shirt, A, it's not going to sell right now,
right,
and B, with the amount that they're losing, it's going to incite violence anyway.
No, that's true, too. All right. I agree.
I don't think they have a right to remove that. But that's just me saying that. And, Matt, we appreciate your opinion. And let's see what Gary has to say. Gary, your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't think they really should have. They should have censored that before he took the picture, if they were going to say anything.
I agree. Like, turn that inside out. We feel uncomfortable putting it in there.
Yeah.
But they took it upon themselves to do it. It does not violate the dress code.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I had a funny story to tell you about when I grew up in California.
Yeah.
And in Palo Alto, California, actually, and I went to a elementary school, and we had a teacher. His name was Mr. Strange.
Mr. Strange.
And, you know, in elementary school, you know how you have the class pitcher.
Yeah.
Well, there was always two pitchers for Mr. Strange's class every year. One, the normal one. You know, every kid standing front, hand down, you know, hands down by the side.
Yeah.
The second one was everybody trying to do something strange.
I like that.
But that hurts no one.
And I don't know what happened to the man. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
But and had a great sense of humor about his name.
That's
awesome.
Why don't high schools have a good sense of humor about anything?
Good question. That's a very good question.
Thank you, Gary. Everybody takes things too seriously. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I don't think the school or the photographer had any right to take that out.
As much as I'm not a fan of Donald Trump's,
agreed.
I think in a case like this, you can't take this away from the kid. He decided to wear a shirt. What's the harm in that?
I get so mad at my kids when they didn't wear a button-down shirt for picture day.
Yeah.
It's like you're wearing a T-shirt. I don't care what
it
says.
A little bit. Right.
All right, we are going to take a break. We are going to go on to the stream at WGNplus.com. You can find us there. We're going to talk to Ben Falcone, who's written a book, Being a Dad is Weird. I can't wait to talk to him about it's weird we do turn into our parents.
Sure. Yep.
I know you don't believe that you're
no.
like your dad, but there are some ways.
In some ways, sure. Sure.
You look depressed now.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's always hard to hear it out loud, but yeah.
It's kind of true.
All right, so we'll check in with Steve. We'll find out what he has on regular radio, but we are headed to the stream in just a few minutes, so stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.